It is good when we can come together and share with one another God's love and the story of Jesus Christ and what He has done. And that's really where we are. And what we're in the middle of doing, and you may not really like this or care for it or stuff, but there comes a point in time when we just have to ask ourselves, why do we do what we do? When we assemble, when we gather to study God's Word, why do we do it? Now, you can run around and you can pull out a little verse here and you can pull out a little verse there and pull out a little verse, and you can mix it all together and stir it up, and you can come up with anything you want to. And people do it every day. And if that's how you want to run at it, fine. You go ahead and do it. On the other hand, it might be also a good idea to pick up God's Word and just let it talk to you. Listen to what it has to say, and if it is a history book, and I'm here to tell you, the story of Acts is the history of God's family in the first century, at least for those formative years when He's growing up what we call the church, which is nothing more than His family. That's all it is. It's us. And in this book, in the book of Acts, you get a real good close-up look how real human beings worship God in the name of Jesus. And the closer we can get to that, the better I feel, and I hope you do too, that we're doing it the way God wants us to do it. God is smart enough to tell you, isn't He? Well, of course He is. And if He took the time to make certain that Luke wrote this down so we could get a real good look at what it was like, maybe we can then know. And we're now at a point, like I said last week, in the history of God's family that is critical to me. Because you see, I'm not a Jew. Not. And the last time I checked everybody in this room, let's see, Holt, does that fit into the Jewish persuasion? I don't think so. I say that because that's a new... O'Donnell. Did I get that right? I did. That's probably not either. If you work your way through the list, everybody here, most everyone, I say everyone in this room, is what's called a Gentile. Born outside of that elite group of people, at least they thought they were elite. Certainly they were selected by God for a purpose. But everyone in this room and the vast majority of those who live in Douglas County, and I'm not trying to discriminate because that's the point. But up to this point in time, as we've been studying the history of God's family in the book of Acts, there's an elite group that's getting the word, and those are the Jews. God did that on purpose. He started with a group of people that at least knew who He was, that had been given a law, that had seen Mount Sinai, had heard the Ten Commandments, that knew that God had a plan. They lost track of the fact that He had a plan, that He ultimately was going to develop Jesus Christ, who had come, live, and be killed, and resurrected on the third day. That group of people that didn't hear that message is us. You and me. And we're probably, if you want to get the history book out, 12 years into the history of God's family. Now, you got to do a little math to get there, but it's probably very close to being accurate. And now, 12 years down the road, in the study of God's family, we come to this point in the book of Acts, where God says, listen. 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 Let's pray. Father, thank You for opening our eyes to the reality of Jesus and what He has done. But more importantly, Father, thank You for giving us the chance, giving us the opportunity to see, giving us the opportunity to hear, giving us the chance to say, I have sinned, fallen short of You. I need Jesus. What must I do? Thank You for Jesus, who supplies that answer. And help us, dear God, to be honest with ourselves. We ain't going to do this on our own. It is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Little boy was in church. He's making up all kinds of noise and racket. And mama's over there just struggling with, it's a tough day. It's a tough day. And I mean, I couldn't keep Cameron here. If I'd had Cameron in here, I'd have used him. But this is not a story about Cameron. Okay? He can't hear me. He's in the other room anyway. So I'm not going to pick on. Cameron's going to be 8 years old this week. This is an amazing thing. But you know what I'm talking about. There is mama. And she's got this little boy. And he's just having a horrible time. And mama's over there fighting with him and doing everything she can. She's probably there by herself. And we have a lot of that going on these days where mamas are left to struggle with that little boy. And he's got an attitude. And all of a sudden, mama picks him up by the ear. And can't you see it? Not picks him up, but walks him out there. And everybody, because he's now messed up the service. And the guys up there talking, nobody's paying attention because they're watching mama as she takes him back outside. Now, this story has to be old because in these days, she'd be written up and DFS would come in and it would be child abuse. So this story, you're not listening on the radio right now. Turn it down so you can't hear it. But I saw Jared over there. This must have been Jared at time growing up, this big Marine we now have. So mama's got him by the ear and hauls him back to the back of the room. And back outside in the foyer, you can hear it. And now, and the next thing you know, in he walks. Quiet as mouse. And he sits down next to mama, looking like this. And he's thinking, I may be sitting down. You've heard this before, haven't you? But I'm standing up on the inside. Acts chapter 10. Start in verse 23. We'll go to the end of the chapter. And the reason I bring this up is because you see, all their lives, these people in the first century who are Jews, including Peter. Peter is nothing outside the ordinary. They have been told that they are exclusive to God. They are God's chosen people. God had reason for that. He needed to get Jesus into the world. Jesus would come from the seed of Eve. And he would wind that thread through all of time until on that day, in that manger, in the city of Bethlehem, Jesus would be born. And there he was. God's only begotten Son. Now, this may come as a shocker to you, but God's need for the seeds of the Jew ended right there. They had done their job. They had fulfilled God's need. God has a promise, and that promise was made to Abraham that through your seed, all nations, not just Jews, all nations of the world will be blessed. You go read it in Genesis 12, Genesis 18. I think it spins back around in 21 or maybe 22, something like that. But over and over and over again, God is saying he's going to come. And when he comes, everybody gets in on it. But the Jews had now Jesus handed to them in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost when Peter looks at him and says, "You killed God's Son." And they said, "What must we do?" And you got the death, burial, and resurrection. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. You know this story. We've been through it. In the name of Jesus Christ, you're doing it for the remission of your sins. And you are being baptized. And you are receiving God's Spirit. That's Acts 2:38, in case you need to go look it up. The Jews now, for about 10, 11, 12 years, have traveled around talking to people, including the guy in the desert who is a convert, who is going back to Ethiopia. We were there just a week or two ago. But now we come to this point where you got Peter on the rooftop. It's about time to eat. And God shows him through a dream, a vision, through something like that, a sheet come down. Last week's lesson. Sheet comes down and up on it. There's every animal on the planet. There's all kinds of stuff. There's everything in the world that you really wouldn't want to eat. But all of a sudden, God says to Peter, "Get up and eat. Get up and eat. Get up and eat." And each time you can see Peter just standing there, red-faced, saying, "I ain't going to do it. I can't do this. I don't want to do this. This is not what I ought to be doing. This violates everything I have ever known. And at the end, there's a knock at the door. There's a boy down there that has been sent by this Cornelius, who is that Roman soldier, the legion man, 100 guys underneath him, that is so good, that is searching for God, that is reading His Word, that so is so good He even takes care of the people that He's entrusted with to be their Roman, whatever the word is, captor, subduer. He's a good man. And he's looking for God. And God says, send for this man named Peter. Knock at the door. And the angel or the vision or whatever this is says, there's a knock at the door. There's somebody down there. You go with them. Next thing you know, the next day, verse 23, he arose and went off with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa accompanying him. We're going to find out there's 7 of them all told. He brings with him, this is Peter, some of those who believed in Jesus Christ. We would call these Jewish Christians. And Peter the apostle takes these with him on the way to Joppa. On the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his kinmen and close friends. This good man Cornelius, this guy who is a Roman soldier who has 100 men underneath him, and they are the Italian cohort. These are the special forces of the Roman Empire. They are there to guard the governor or that big seaport city. Whatever their job is, they are razor focused on Rome and its importance. But over those 10, 11, 12 years that he apparently has been here, get to that in a while, he has been convinced that there is a God, not oodles and bundles and gobs of them like the Romans believe. And he is looking for answers. Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. You ever had a prayer answered? And the only thing you know to do is just get down and pray to God. You need to understand how desperate Cornelius was for help. Last week we found out he was praying and he was looking, and God talked to him and told him, I'm going to answer your prayer. And the answer is going to come in the form of a guy who is over there at Joppa. Go get him. And there's a knock at the door, and there he is. Now, he's been waiting for him to come. He believed that God was true to His Word, because not only is he there, but he's got his family there. He's got his friends there. These people have seen the good life that Cornelius lives and said, this is a guy I want to be like. And he says, there's somebody coming. There's a good man coming. There's an answer coming from God. And they all get together. It's kind of like us here. We're here today because we want to hear what God has for us. And they are gathered there. And he just literally falls down and worships Him. Now, I can just see Peter turning red-faced, because good old Peter, he knows what that is. Look what he says. But Peter lifted him, saying, stand up. Stand up. I too am a man. If God could have picked anybody that could correctly say that, it's Peter, right? Peter's the one that can't walk on water, but he can because he takes his eyes off Jesus. Peter's the one with the sword out, right, trying to protect him. Peter is the one that's always constantly putting his foot in his mouth. Peter is as human could be. He's just like me. And this guy falls down wanting to kind of worship Peter, just so glad that God has heard him and responded. And Peter says, get up, I'm just like you. 27. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many people gathered there. And he said to them, you yourselves know. Now catch this, this Peter. You yourselves know that it's unlawful for a Jew to associate with or visit with any of another nation. This is disclaimer. Now I've come here today, but I want you to know right off top, I'm not supposed to be here because I'm a Jew. Wonder why I said that. I wonder why he said that. Let's move on. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. He's the guy, remember, that saw the sheet, and on the sheet it had all those things, and God says, rise up and eat. It's okay. It's okay. Three times he has to do that to get it through Peter's thick skull that it might be okay to eat pork. We talked about barbecue sandwiches last week. Now Peter finds himself standing in a room of barbecue sandwiches. And he begins by saying, I'm not supposed to be here. But God says, there isn't anything common or unclean. 29, so when I was sent for, I came without objection. I can just see his heels digging in. I asked then why you sent for me. Why am I here? And Cornelius said 4 days ago, by the way, it took 2 days to get over there and 2 days to come back. That's how we know about this hour. I was keeping the ninth hour of prayer in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright apparel, saying, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. God heard Cornelius. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who's called Peter. He's lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the seaside. So I sent to you at once, and you've been kind enough to come. You see, this man Cornelius is a good man. I want to say this again. Just because you're a good man does not mean you're okay with God. Because if it did, this wouldn't be in the Bible. Good man, good woman ain't enough, is it? So I sent to you at once, and you've been kind enough to come. And now, therefore, we're all here present in the sight of God to hear all that you've been commanded by the Lord. He looks at Peter and he says, not just me, but all those folks around me. We've come here because we need you, and we need to hear what you have to say. I wish, just once in my life, that's what I'd run into in a bunch of people. Now, we got to understand, folks, we're to the point now where we're just so scarred up with religion that there ain't anybody, I take that back. You're the exception. They're sitting here on their edge of your seats to hear God's word. These folks aren't Jews. Now, you got to walk away from this understanding this right off the bat. These people are the reprobates. They're the pagans. They're the no goods of life. They're the down and outs. This guy is even a Roman soldier of all things, for Peter to have to deal with. And yet they are there, bowed down to Peter. As grateful as you are ever going to get in somebody's mind. And so you got to understand, just because your heart is searching for something doesn't mean you have it yet, does it? Because if it did, there is no need for this to be in the story of the history of God's family. There's got to be more than just I want to and I'm looking for and I'm a good person. The story goes on. Verse 31, Peter opened his mouth. Truly I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone. These words should just make your heart soar, because this is us. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the word which was sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. You got to understand, where Cornelius was is really, really, really close to where Jesus began his ministry. And all that stuff that Jesus did, although it was to Jews, percolated to the coast. And they heard about what was going on. Verse 37, the word which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee. Get your map out. Find this city where Cornelius is, and find Galilee, and it's right next door. Beginning from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses to all that he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. This man now, Cornelius, and everybody in that house is now finally having, after 12 years, somebody sit down and say, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. And for 10, 11, 12 years, you got to understand that the Jews weren't telling them about Jesus, even though they were their next door neighbors, Peter included. 39. And we're all witnesses to that he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death, hanging him on a tree. There you go with the death of Jesus Christ. They put him on the death, hanging him on a tree. The they, by the way, are the Jews. The Jews killed him. Verse 39, we're witnesses to all that he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him. The they refers to the Jews. He didn't blame the Romans. He's talking to a Roman guy right now, isn't he? Peter's talking to Cornelius, and he says, they put him on a tree. He didn't point his finger at Cornelius and said, your boys put him on a tree. He said, the Jews put him on a tree. Verse 40, but God raised him on the third day and made him manifest. Made him alive. Made him seen. Not to all the people, but to those of us who were chosen by God as witnesses. About 500 of them is what we learn later on. Saw Jesus alive, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He goes on to say, not only did we see him, but we sat down and we ate with him. We sat down and we had something to drink with him. We sat there and ate and drank with this guy who the Jews put on a tree and killed. He's not a ghost. He's not an apparition. He's God's living son. And he looks at this man Cornelius straight in the eye and said, I sat down on the seaside and had a fish fry with him. Didn't he? Remember when Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? They were eating fish. Peter, do you love me? They were having more fish. Peter, do you love me? The meal probably turned over in Peter's stomach. Feed my sheep. Peter, when he says this to Cornelius, has tears in his eyes. And I'll bet you he remembers that seaside meal when three times he had betrayed his Lord and Master. Three times over a fish fry, he says, I love you. I love you. I love you. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God to be the judge of the living and of the dead. You get this? On the day of judgment, before Jesus hands over his throne, which he will do, guess what he's going to do? You are going to stand in front of God's Son, the living and the dead. Now he's saying this to this Gentile, to this reprobate, to this woman. And now he's gotten to the point where maybe he's got his attention. That this Jesus whom they hung on a tree, who God made alive, who we sat down and we had a fish fry with, 500 of us over 40 days saw him. No, he's for real. He is alive. And when it comes to the end, he is who you're going to face. 43. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And if that's all you have to do, then we're done. The passage ends right here. And so those of you that want to trot out or have been taught that all you got to do is you got to believe, that's all there is to it, then the story ends right here, doesn't it? Do you see how, as we read this passage, so many things that we've been told and taught are laid out as part of the story, told by Peter, who did not want to be here, who did not want to be having this conversation with us, because we're not Jews. How he has taken us through all of these potential stopping points. If it's all about just faithfulness, if it's all about just being a good guy, if it's all about just doing good things, if it's all about just saying, well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and all of a sudden you're okay, then we're done. What's amazing here, Logan, is that we're not done, that we continue to move on. The story moves. Next verse, 44. All the time, Ledger, this is going on. All the time this is going on. Peter is just standing there, drawing back as best as he can, doing his best not to close. We're in the selling business in the radio station. And there comes a point in time when you're trying to convince somebody to spend money with me, which is my job, is to get to the point where you ask them to buy. If you've had any kind of an introduction to what you do when you sell, you explain the benefits, you explain why it's a good idea, and then you finally get down to the point where you say, do you want to have it? And you shut up, say no more, so you can get them to say either yes or no. So Peter now has done every bit of this, but what has Peter not done? And it's important you catch this. Go back and compare what happens in Acts chapter 2. As Peter is working his way through on the day of Pentecost, he finally gets down there and he looks at the people who are standing there in front of him and he points his finger and he says, you are responsible for the death of God's Son. Right? And if you'll go read the other examples so far, there comes a point in time where the preachers have looked at the people that they're talking to and said, you're the ones that he died for. He died for you, Tim. And we're talking eyeball to eyeball. And here we are in the story. They have had Peter now talk about God. They've talked about God's Spirit. They've talked about Jesus Christ. They've talked about the fact that the Jews put him on the tree. They've talked about the fact that God himself raised him up, made him alive. That there will come a day when people will stand in front of Jesus, those living and those dead. And everybody in the room he knows is there because they want to know, what do we do? That is right. What do we do? Verse 44. While Peter was still saying this, the Holy Spirit fell on all of those who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who came with Peter were amazed. There are seven of them. Peter and six others, they were Christian Jews. They were standing in this room with these reprobates, with these Gentiles, with these pagans, with this Roman guy, with these people that God literally had forced them to go see. They had opened up God's word to them. Peter had preached it. Peter had gotten down to the close. And oh my goodness, we hear this so often. He'd gotten down to a particular point and kind of froze. Peter's a good man. Peter has a great heart. Peter has a problem. And that problem is he's prejudiced. All his life he's been told, you don't talk to these people. And whatever you do, you don't talk to them about God. They are pagans. And instead of getting a teary-eyed Peter saying, you have crucified Jesus, you might as well have driven the nails yourself because he died for you. That's not happening. Will, but it's not. While Peter was still saying this, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who came with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out listen to the way this is written. These seven are standing there looking at one another, bum-fuzzled. These guys got what we got in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. Oh! Red-faced, mouth wide open, hard to say much anything. Verse 26. For they heard them speaking in tongues. By the way, that's foreign languages, just like on the day of Pentecost. They were talking in German and Russian and Slovakian and all kinds of other real deal languages. And extolling God. Then Peter declared. Now, Peter could have declared this at any point in time in this conversation. He should have done this right at verse 43. This Jesus will judge all, living and dead. And then he should have looked right at you, Kay. You're sitting there in that room next to your husband, whose name is Cornelius. And should have looked right at you and said, Kay, you are responsible for killing God's son. So Kay then could honestly say, what must I do? Because she would have. But he's hedging. And God reached down and boom! There's my spirit. There's them speaking as if they had cloven tongues in languages just like you were doing in Acts chapter 2. There is my spirit poured out on these people right here and now. Verse 46. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared. 47. Can anyone forbid water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Now, if you don't need to find the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in salvation, if it is not necessary, if it should not be a part of the conversation, then why on earth did we get verse 47? Because God's not done with these people yet, folks. Because they have not put on Jesus Christ. God had to reach down and push His Spirit into that room. Because you had a bunch of little kids standing around there with their daddy finger on their ear, pinching it and pinching it and pinching it and pinching it, getting them ever closer and ever closer and ever closer to what God needed them and sent them into that room to do. And Peter's standing there saying, Jesus is God's Son and He will judge you. And God throws up His hands and boom! Cornelius is just like Peter in his ability to speak in all those languages and do those things that God's Spirit did on the day of Pentecost. By the way, there are only two places in the New Testament where you're going to find this. Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10. The first occurred to the Jews as they received the power of God and heard the gospel preached for the first time. And the second time as the Gentiles heard of the gospel sort of kind of preached, and God had to reach down with His power to get the Jews to finish doing what their job was. Who can prevent these people? Who can forbid from baptizing these people who have received the Spirit? Verse 48. If you do not need baptism, 47 and 48, you're going to have to cross out of your Bible. Do it right now. Who can forbid water for baptizing those who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Verse 48, and He commanded them to be baptized. To be baptized simply because they're good people? To be baptized because they had this miraculous power to speak in strange languages? It's not what it says, is it? Look at it. And He commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2 it says, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Their sins hadn't been washed away yet. Had they? And they put on Jesus just like those had done on the day of Pentecost. And the reason, my friends, this story reads different is because the preacher was unwilling to go for the clothes, to tell them the truth, that the access to God that they were so desperately seeking was tied to the death, to the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God forced Peter to do his job. Now I have a personal note here. Don't you ever, ever worship me. I will be wrong. I will make mistakes. I will say things that I really don't mean in a way that I say them. And I'm not any different than Peter, am I? We're just human beings, folks. And what is so remarkable about the story of God's family and the history of God's church is you get them with their bumps, their wrinkles, with their smells, with their noises, with every bit of it. And it took God's hand in a miraculous way to reach down to Cornelius and to those in that room so that Peter would have the matzah to stand up and say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And for those of you who do not understand that, that Holy Spirit was God coming home to their soul. Acts chapter 10, the last half, believe it or not, has opened the door for us. We're now part of God's family. And we got there with the Jew by the name of Peter, kicking and screaming and saying, I don't want to do this. Don't ever do that to someone who is looking for Jesus. I don't care how ugly they are, how bad they smell, or what terrible things they have done. God loves us all. And Jesus died for us all. That's it. But we're just getting started. Because now we have opened up a chapter in the history of the world that will spread the gospel of Jesus to Rome, to Spain, eventually to England, eventually across the sea to a little old country called the United States of America, that will carry us now to the 24th day of June, 2018, in a little bitty place called Ava, Missouri, where the gospel of Jesus Christ can now clearly, simply, and in a straightforward manner be proclaimed to even us Gentiles. Thank you, God, for Cornelius. And I'm surprised Peter has an ear left. It's for us. It's for you. And if you need Jesus, if you haven't put Him on, I hope you're like those people in that room that can't wait for the chance to be a part of God's family. And if you've been reluctant to share the gospel with others, understand you ain't alone. Even the best of the best have struggled with it at times. We can all get something out of this one today as we stand. And as we sing.